You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
And sometimes that's what obedience looks like, is when we feel like complaining, or we feel like being negative, or we feel like, you know, getting down on God, we choose to thank Him and rejoice. So it's not denial to rejoice when we're suffering. It's actually faith in the one who works all things for our good.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
Hey everyone, welcome tonight to service. So excited that we get to worship and hear from the amazing Chad tonight. I am so excited. I remember when I was younger, my dad and I, we would have, he's a pastor, we would have all of these different theological conversations. And one of the conversations that we would have, often they were late at night. I don't know why, but like my brain just got so curious at nighttime, and I would sit on his bed. Mom and dad would be so tired, but they would handle all my questions. But I remember my dad talking to me about how there's two different words in the Greek that talk about the word of God, and how there's the logos, which is the written word of God, and then there's the rhema, and that is the word that God speaks for a certain time and a certain space. It's the word for now. And I just believe that as Chad shares tonight, and even through worship tonight, that God's going to speak rhema words for all of us tonight, that it's going to be a word that agrees with the written word, the logos, but it's going to be a word for now. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Thank you for your goodness, Jesus. Thank you that you are present here tonight. God, that you have a word to speak through us, or to us all. And we just thank you for that. God, would you give us the ability to lean in right now, Father, that we would hear you speak, Father, during worship, during when Chad is speaking, God, that we would have eyes to see what you're doing and ears to hear what you're speaking. In your name, amen. So, Chad, without further ado, you want to come up here? You guys can give him a round of applause.
Thank you. How are you guys doing tonight? It's good to see you. Merry Christmas, right? We're almost there. I was warned with, threatened with an inch of my life that I better be done on time because we have a Christmas party to go to tonight. So one of eight Christmas parties. Is that crazy? Is that a lot? I feel like that's a lot. Actually, it wasn't. That wasn't it. No. Yeah. No, she didn't really threaten me, but she's like, hey, you guys need to, like, get going. So I'll try. I'm going to try to stay close to my notes here, so maybe we'll, because I have until 7 o'clock tonight, right? No, I'm just kidding. All right. So actually, I do have some things in my heart to share tonight. So several months ago, I was praying for the service before church on a Sunday morning. You know, there's several of us that will meet in the back. We've been meeting in here lately, but meet in the back room, you know, about an hour before the service, just to pray for the service and stuff, and just wait on God and see what he wants to do. And several months ago, God directed me to Isaiah chapter 54. And I believe that he gave that that chapter to me for Parkway, and that God was wanting to speak to Parkway through that. And so just through the last few months, that's kind of how I've been praying for you guys. And I feel like that, you know, God's given me some things to share tonight. And so I'm just going to jump in and do that if you guys are good with that. So Isaiah 54 was a prophetic promise to Israel. Israel had, they disobeyed God. They rejected him as their king because they wanted to be like other nations. And in doing that, they actually took on a lot of their ways. They took on their idols. They took on their sinful ways. And because of that, they stepped out from under the umbrella of God's protection when they did that. So the setting of the story in Isaiah 54, Israel had been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. They had been exiled and mistreated. their families had been torn apart. You know, I've seen these documentaries on Nazi Germany during World War II, you know, and you see these horrific scenes where children are being ripped out of the hands of their parents, and you see spouses being torn apart, never to be reunited. And so I believe it's this setting that God speaks through Isaiah a word to his desire to restore Israel, but not just to restore them, but to bless them in a way that they would be a blessing to everyone around them, the nations around them. And so that's tonight we're gonna take a look at what God had to say to Israel and what I believe he would say to us and how this would apply to us as well. So for the sake of time, we're only going to get through the first three or four verses. And so I would encourage you to read all of Isaiah 54, to pray about it and to ask God what he would speak to you, because I really do believe that God wants to speak to us as a body, Parkway, just some things that he wants to do in our future and stuff. And so Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things." And so I believe that he's just waiting for us to ask. Okay, so we're going to jump right in. Isaiah 54, verse 1 says, "Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, who are never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband." So we'll stop there. So was God making light of their suffering when he says, "Hey, I want you to sing, I want you to shout for joy"? Absolutely not. God understood their pain, right? And in Psalm 56:8, he says, the psalmist says, "You have kept count of my tossings. You've put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your books?" We read that God is near to the brokenhearted, right? So he desperately wants to help us, and he does care. Their claims, Israel, their claim wasn't, it was legitimate, right? Their suffering was real. But even so, God wanted them to behave differently than their ancestors who had tested God, right? They wandered in the wilderness, and they disobeyed God, and they tested him, and they provoked him to anger. They grumbled, and they complained about their situation. And I fear that if we're not careful, we too can take on that same attitude where we'd legitimize our complaints and we would justify our grumbling and our complaining. And if we're not careful, we could undermine what God is wanting to do, undermine his plan for us. So God was then and still is today looking for a people that will live by faith, right? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So his will for us is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, where he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." So it's still his will for us today. So it's our sinful nature to be carnally minded. Paul talks a lot about that in the New Testament. The carnal mind is governed by what we see, by what we hear, by what we feel, and not necessarily by what the Word of God says. A carnal mind might factually state something like, you know, "My marriage is falling apart. I mean, I feel like we're going to end in divorce." Or, "My finances are a mess and I'm broke. I've lost my job. I can't pay my bills." Or maybe it sounds like, you know, "My kids have walked away from the Lord and I don't know if they'll ever come back." Or, "The doctor says, you know, this is incurable. This disease that I have, it's not curable." Or, "I'm barren and I can't have children." So there are facts and then there's truth, and they're not always the same thing. So Hebrews 11:1, it says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So when we're tempted to see ourselves as barren, or we look at our life and we think we're lacking in some area, that's when the Lord would say, "Rejoice, shout for joy, burst forth into song." Because you know, it's not because we feel like doing it. We're doing it because he commands us to, or he asks us to do that. So when we rejoice in the Lord in spite of our situation, I believe that we release, and I've seen this in my own life, and I've seen this in the lives of others, I believe that we release the resources of heaven to go to work on our behalf. Jeremiah 1:12 says, God watches over his word to perform it. So I believe that he's waiting to reward obedience. And sometimes that's what obedience looks like, is when we feel like complaining, or we feel like being negative, or we feel like, you know, getting down on God, we choose to thank him and rejoice. So it's not denial to rejoice when we're suffering. It's actually faith in the one who works all things for our good, right? Okay, so verse 2, Isaiah 54, verse 2. He says, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back. In other words, do it with all of your heart. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations. Your descendants are your children and your grandchildren, right? Who doesn't want their children and their grandchildren to be blessed by the Lord, protected, covered, promoted, right? We want to see them do well in the things that God has for them. And do you believe that what we're doing right now is going to affect the next generation? Absolutely, right? So this verse, verse 2, it's not just a promise, it's a command. There are times where God will speak a word, and it's something that is going to happen. Like Isaiah 42, it says, I speak these things before they happen so that when they do, you'll know that it's me. I won't give my glory to another, right? It's kind of like a window into the future. It's as far as he's concerned, it's already happened, and he's just revealing that to us. But there's another kind of word that comes from the Lord, and that's more of like a conditional word where God says, if you do this, then I will do this. Isaiah 54 is one of those conditional words from the Lord. God wants to do something, but it's going to take, Israel's participation. So if you don't enlarge the place of your tent, then guess what? You won't spread out to the right or to the left. So what was God asking him to do when he said, you know, what does it mean to spread out to the right and to the left? The Israelites were, they were really familiar with living in tents, right? All the way back to the time of Abraham in the book of Genesis, they were a nomadic people. And so much of their journey, they were a nomadic people, you know, living in tents. And so this imagery would make sense to them. And this isn't the first time that they were promised to take territory or to dispossess nations. In Genesis 12, God tells Abraham, I will give this land to your offspring. Exodus 33, God tells Moses, you are to lead this people into the promised land. Unfortunately, they disobeyed God and they didn't get to go into the promised land. And it wasn't until Joshua becomes leader that the Israelites enter the promised land and dispossess nations. So we read in Joshua chapter 1, God told Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot. And he says, and nobody will be able to stand against you if you do these four things. And so these four things, I believe, are how we enlarge the place of our tent. The first one, he says, is to be strong and courageous. So it's about our attitude. He's not asking us to do things that we can pull off on our own, right? So there's no glory in that for him. He wants his glory to be revealed so that people will come to know him. But it's going to take our obedience, right, to step into that, what God has. And a lot of times it's not easy. The only way we can do that is with eyes of faith to see what he's doing. 365 times in the Bible it says, do not be afraid, or some version of that, right? Don't shrink back, don't be afraid, be strong and courageous. So that's once a day for every day of the year. Every day we need to be reminded that God is faithful and that we're not to be afraid. So here's the problem. Fear is a liar, right? Fear will rob us of the inheritance that God has for us. Fear will keep us from obeying God. And because it keeps us from obeying God, it'll keep us from the promised land or the promise that God has for us, that place that he wants to take us. So just remember that you can feel afraid and still be courageous, right? We don't have to act on our fear. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, the way that we expand the place of our tent is we obey everything that he commands. So we all have a desert experience. And even Jesus was led, the Holy Spirit led him into the desert, right, to be tempted. And at some point, if we're a believer and we're led by the Holy Spirit, we will be led into the desert. Or maybe you already have been led into the desert. Maybe you're there now. I don't know. But it's what we do in the desert that matters, right? It was an 11-day journey for the Israelites that took them 40 years. Their disobedience cost them 40 years of misery. You know, you can only wander in the desert. You can only wander in disobedience for so long and unbelief for so long. Then eventually you get old and die. And that's actually what happened to the Israelites. They just got old and died. You know, you can only go around the mountain so many times, right? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. So, you know, I've talked to different people and they say, you know, I have a hard time hearing from the Lord. And actually, to be honest with you, there are a lot of times where I feel like I have a hard time hearing from the Lord. And sometimes he feels distance. But one thing that I've learned is that sometimes if I can't hear the Lord or it seems like he's distant, maybe it's time for me to go back to the last thing he told me to do that I didn't do. Maybe he's waiting for me there to speak to me as soon as I do the last thing that he told me to do. It's really easy to deceive ourselves sometimes in that, right? So if God's asking you to do something, hurry and do it before you talk yourself out of it. Because we're really good about doing that, right? We'll talk ourselves out of it if we don't just act on what he gives us. So let me ask you this. What is he asking you to do? What's he been talking to you guys about? Is he asking you to get up a little bit early and spend time with him? Is he maybe asking you guys to tithe, or maybe to tithe more than you have been, or to give more than you have been? Is he asking you to extend forgiveness to someone? Is he asking you to volunteer somewhere at church? What's he speaking to you? Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't talk yourself out of the blessing that God has for you in obedience. Okay, the third way that we expand the place of our tent is we meditate on his word day and night. And why is this important? Well, one, the Bible says that we're transformed by that, but it keeps us anchored. Jesus likens his word to seed, right? And he talks about the parable of the four types of soil. Three of those types of soil or conditions of the heart, the enemy is either choking out the word, stealing the word, or distracting us from the word. Meditating on his word will keep us anchored when we can't experience the reality or the manifestation of the promise that he's given us. I'm going to say that one more time. Meditating on his word, thinking about his word, is going to keep us anchored when we can't see the thing that he told us he's going to give us. The devil knows that if he can keep us from God's word, that he can keep us from obeying God. And if he can keep us from obeying God, then he can keep us from our inheritance. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So an example of this, God spoke to Joseph, right? And he spoke to him through a dream, and he said, "You're going to be this great leader in the land. Even your brothers and your father will bow to you," right? And what happens after that? The exact opposite, right? The exact opposite happened to Joseph. He was beaten up by his brothers. His clothes were ripped off of him. He's thrown into a pit. He was sold into slavery. And then things just got worse from there, right? It just kept getting worse for him. It would have been really easy for him to dismiss the dream and say, "Well, you know, maybe that wasn't God. Maybe I didn't hear right. Maybe I just got it wrong." You know, but eventually he did become the second in command over all of Egypt. Right? And his family did indeed bow to him. But first he had to suffer many things to prepare him for the weight of the responsibility for the level of promotion that God had for him. So again, meditation on his word will keep us anchored when we can't experience the reality of the promise that he's given us. I love this quote by A.W. Tozer. "It's doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply." Don't despise the way in which God is preparing you for promotion, right? It's his plan, it's his power, and it's his way. I love how you're talking this morning before service. It's just like, wow, you know, that was like almost, you know, the process. Don't despise the process of what God's doing. It's just like, wow, it's just how the Holy Spirit works. I just love that, just that confirmation. Okay, so number four, the fourth and the last way that we can enlarge the place of our tent, we keep his law always on our lips, right? We speak his word out loud. What we say matters. Proverbs 18:21 says, "There is life and death in the power of the tongue." So much so that Jesus says that we must give an account on judgment day for every idle word that we speak. So I would venture to guess that our words actually aren't idle, and that's why we're going to be judged for them. They seem idle to us, right? We just say them carelessly, you know, but our words can actually create and destroy. And so it's so important that we're careful what we say. How often do we undermine what God wants to do in our lives by what comes out of our mouth? Right? There were 12 spies that were sent to scope out the land. 10 of them said, "Hey, we can't do that, man. There are giants in the land, and we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't do this. We're not going to, you know, there's no way." And two of them said, no, we can do this. God's going to give us the land. There's nothing that's impossible for God. We got this, right? Guess what? All 12 spies were right. 10 of them couldn't take the land because they didn't believe. And they said so, right? And so God didn't show up and he didn't help them. And they wandered around out in the desert in unbelief. But two of them could, and they did enter the land because they did believe and they said so. And guess what? God showed up and he helped them. Why? Because he watches over his word to perform it. So let me ask you tonight, what do you believe? What are you speaking over your situation? What are you speaking over your children? What are you speaking over your life? Can we wait? And as soon as we get done, I'll yeah, I am, I guess rhetorically, but. So I'm kind of wrapping up here. I know we're just about out of time. Would you guys mind coming up and just doing that last song with about the Holy Spirit? So as they come up, I just have one last thought that I want to share. You know, all the stuff that I'm talking about, it might seem kind of heavy, but can I just simplify it for you? It's all about relationship, right? If we don't get that right, we don't get it right. It's all about a relationship with the Lord. So we didn't get far enough into the scripture, but verse 5 of Isaiah 54, it says, your maker is your husband. God wants to enter a relationship with us that is the most intimate of all relationships that he's created. He wants to marry you. Isn't that a crazy thought? He wants to marry us. And he's looking for a partner. He's looking for a companionship. He's looking for a helpmate and us. And so, if we miss his heart, we miss it. It's all about that intimacy with him. And if we get that right, you guys, there is no stopping us, right? There is nothing there that we can't do in the Lord if we get that right. And so he wants us to trust that he is good. And if we trust that he is good, all of these other things, they're going to work out. We will obey him. We will, our thought and our hearts and our words, they will line up with his word. We will obey him because we know his heart and we trust him. It's all about relationship. Thank you.
Lord, would you help us to lean into this week, God, and beyond? Father, that we would be not just hearers of the word, but doers, God, that we would have eyes to see not just the physical things in front of us, but God, the words that you've spoken over our lives, God, would you give us the courage and the boldness to speak your word out, Father? God, that when we're going through, I can even just see, like, you know, when we're with our families and our spouses, and it can be tempting just to want to rant about all the things going on. Father, would you just stop us in our hearts, God, and that we would be able to walk with obedience and speaking your word instead of the things that we see. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chad, for being obedient and speaking. Give him a round of applause. That was awesome. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Have an amazing afternoon and stay warm. It's cold out there.